Holding in Chafei Teves, Siman Mem Vav, we're going to Halacha Chavtes. So we're discussing when a person sends things. This is Sona Yel Maisa, you have all these Uber Eats and etc. So you have to know the following. First of all, as we said, they have to have a good siman. Sometimes a really good siman, like a type of what's called a plumba, a type of seal, could even equal two seals. It just says the practical, it's based on how well or how difficult it is and challenging it is for a non-Jew or even a Jew that's not trusted to switch the food into non-kosher food. But the Eved also, it's important to know there's a, in Piskei Teshuvah, one of the Sfarim from the Achronim, that if there's no benefit, that's also one of the big principles, if there's no benefit for switching, so that's something to rely on in the Eved. But you always have to ask a Shah when it comes to these things. So the Kitzit discusses also sacks that have like stitches. You have to make sure the stitches are inside of, meaning if you're going to be able to undo the stitches, then you didn't accomplish anything. If something was said, sent with a non-Jew, an animal, a bird, etc. So the kids already says, ask a Sheilas Chacham, like we pointed out before. When it comes to cheeses and other things which are in the hands of a non-Jew, so even though they might have a seal or even in a kosher type of utensil, if we don't know who sealed it, meaning let's say it says kosher, you just can't trust that it's kosher. But if there's a proper seal, like we said, a type of, they have sometimes these stickers and they have these types of stamps that they press on, those certainly you could rely on. When a person is roasting, so here's a very negative Maisa Shaila. When a person is roasting, you have to be careful or cooking. The person has to make sure that he doesn't have two pots, one next to the other, where one is kosher and one is not kosher. And in fact, this applies also to basav v'challav, say. So even though we use a different burners, and we could use it for fleishigs and milchigs technically, but when you're cooking, fleishigs and milchigs, they're very close to each other, so then you want to be careful if they're not covered. And the whole concern here is that there might some splash, things might splash from one to the other. If that's not a concern, you don't have to worry. Also important is leaving pots by the maids. Now, this is very negative. A lot of times people leave their homes and they have a cleaning lady or something like that that feels very comfortable using the pots and everything. It's a big shaila. Like the Moshe Zechatzadigur has a long tshuva on this, how to be very careful with this. And really the best thing would be to, anyway, to not to leave a home with a cleaning lady or living, etc., that without even any mirsas means concern that someone might come in. So the best thing is to send someone, a relative, a friend, a neighbor that feels comfortable that would check in and surprise. It takes care of safety of the home probably, and also the shaila of leaving pots and utensils at home with a non-Jew for a long period of time where there's no concern. Okay, next. Someone that you don't know who that he's muchzak bekashus, that means you don't know for sure that he's trustworthy. You cannot buy from him wine or other things because we don't know that he's really going to be giving us kosher stuff. However, if a person's a guest, it's a little bit different. As long as a person is not known that he's to be suspicious, there's more room to be lenient because a person will be more likely to sell something that's not kosher than actually himself eating non-kosher. And there's a very interesting tshuva, one of the Moshe discusses the idea that if you trust someone, you're not, if they're not so, the religious level is not so great, but you could trust that they're telling you what they're serving you and they're honest. So Moshe says that's something that you could trust your heart with. Now, again, the kids already points out that leaving a home, we already mentioned this, leaving a home with either giving utensils to someone to fix and you're not sure, it's a type of utensil they might use. Well, like we said, leaving, so either leaving a home, like we mentioned, but even giving utensils to an Andrew to fix, you have to be careful. So if it's clear that they're not going to use it, that's when there's no problem. Sometimes the kids will point out that people buy what's called a oif kofos. What that means? That means they used to take the fowl and chickens and throw it on the ground to basically stun it. Stunt it. And there's major shies when it comes to this because if they shecht it before seeing that it's able to walk 4 amas, which is around 6 feet, it's a could be a very big shiloh trefa. Mamajin so is to eat it, so have to be very careful. Today that what's called also they give different shots and stuff like that. That's why a lot of people are very careful to make sure that the animals are really being treated properly before they purchase these animals. When it comes to the summer time is interesting, the summer season. So when the kids are ready, he points out, obviously it was in his time, it was common for geese. And on these geese, on the intestine, they would find these blisters. And so every generation has its own challenges. It was something that was common in his time in the 1850s when he lived. So, and therefore he said to be very careful to check the intestines. Now we get to another interesting shaila. When it comes to making what's called milchik bread, there's halacha. You're not allowed to make milchik bread. And the concern is that you might come and eat the bread with meat. And the halacha is, goes so far that if a person did make such a bread, it's also to eat. You're not allowed to eat it even by itself, even if you're not eating it with meat. Now there's many exceptions. One of the exceptions is if it's a small amount or if it's different, meaning the bread is so clearly different than regular bread in its shape, then it's okay. Remember, there was an argument, and I think that's what certain kashrus organizations rely on, is the fact that on the bag itself it says OUD, etc. I'm just giving an example. I think everyone's heard of B'Shem of Soloveitchik. The idea is that it's equivalent, but that seems to be also a dispute. Point is, I really want you to be careful to make sure that either the bread is going to be eaten that day, it's a type of bread that's eaten that day, the amount, or that a person is very careful to make sure that it's going to be different, like we said, the shape, etc. A person should also be careful when it comes to baking, so not to bake bread in what's called a pladen or pashtida, meaning at the same time in the oven, where there's a good possibility that some of the butter or the fat will end up dripping and going in the bread that you're baking. So this is a very practical question. If it did, so the halacha is obviously that you have to treat it like a fleishig bread or milchik bread. And sometimes it could even get to the level you're not even allowed to eat it by itself. When it comes to a bread that you baked with a roast in the oven, so these are the famous shailas, and especially in the old days where the oven was considered much smaller. So if you would, let's say fleishigs and milchiks in the oven at the same time, it could be a major problem. Or if you have a bread that's baking at the same time as milk or bread, so then it would be a major problem because the ovens are so small, so the aroma would be considered that for sure that's going into the items that are baked with it, and therefore it would be a problem. So today, interestingly enough, we know that, first of all, we have ventilations in the vents in the ovens themselves, also therefore the ovens are considered large. So even though the chetchila is definitely good to be careful to not bake, let's say, fleishigs and milks at the same time, but all these cases, but the evid, usually should not be a problem, even fish and meat. Best is, of course, I think the most practical thing is to make sure that the ovens are clean. If they're not clean and you're putting, let's say, meat directly on something, the dirty butter that's just been baked in the oven, obviously that's going to be a problem. Usually it's not a problem, especially if you have one of them covered. You could even bake it at the same time or cook at the same time. It's also important, I think the most important, of course, to clean that or to put it on high for at least 10 minutes or 20 minutes. And this way, it removes any zeya, vape, or anything like that, or aroma that might be a question. In fact, as a kitzur points out, that if an oven did have some dripping fat and milk, so you have to kasher it properly. The way to kasher it is with coals. And we don't use coals, but most ovens today either have self-cleaner, and that's the best way. Or even if they have to go up to 500 degrees, which is standard, the ovens, that also it reaches it. It's considered libun, and at least for sure libun kal, and therefore you could definitely rely on that. Like I said, heating that up and cleaning it would definitely kasher the oven. There are those that actually wait 24 hours between milchus and fleishigs, meaning you get the same oven, but maybe I think, like we said, it's okay. As long as you clean down and it's clean, it's not a problem. And then the kids that discuss is what's called, interesting, they used to have chickens. Practice was these chickens have been castrated. And he's talking about castrated by non-Jews because it's against a shayla. If a Jew is allowed to be involved in such a thing, the whole system had to do it if it's a special situation. And one has to be careful. The kids are speaking about sometimes you'd find they had damages in the intestines while stitching and they could create incisions and then you have major shots, like we said, of trefa. And if you see that there's any flaw, then you definitely should avoid it. And of course, these are the type of things you gotta ask shilas. There's a places that the kids points out where the practice basically was that non-Jews would fan geese to sell to the Jews. And to puncture, what would happen is it would, to puncture them, basically beneath the knee with the wings with the needle. And they would do this really to make it look swollen so it appears fat. Nothing new under the sun. So these are again big questions. They have similar types of situations. And like we said, a person has to be very careful before partaking in this food. It's amazing that when we think about it, is that we want to be pure. We just learned from Moshe Rabbeinu to have kosher milk, meaning from to nurse from a non-kosher, from a mitzvah, from an Egyptian lady, even though it's not usher, but the Ramah still points out that it's kedai to look at every one of our kids as if it's going to be, it's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu, pi yadalvei mashchino. And I mentioned Rav Shach Zechatzadik, but he said that really you have to look at every kid because we are speaking to the Shechino when we say Baruch Atah Hashem.